Thank you. Your question number five was, he fell down and gave thanks to Jesus.
That's what I had for number four. There was something different on number five.
He was a Samaritan.
He was a Samaritan. We've already mentioned he was also called a foreigner. Samaritans were really a despised race. I mentioned John 4 a while ago. You're probably familiar with the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan, and Jesus went there. And she could not understand why Jesus was asking her for a drink. That's in verse 7 and 9. She said the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And you remember this is because in 722, Steve mentioned this on our Sunday morning class recently, the Assyrians repopulated Samaria with other nations. And then they intermarried, and they also brought in pagan idols. And do you remember when we studied Nehemiah, the Samaritans gave Nehemiah a lot of trouble when he was trying to rebuild the walls?
Wasn't it Israel that the Assyrians repopulated the people and made it Samaria?
Yes, they conquered Israel, that's right. Thank you. Okay, anything else so far? Okay, so Jesus says, the nine, where are they? What did Jesus want to know?
He wanted to know why there was only one that came back and thanked him.
He also said, I meant to say before your answer, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? So this is the basic attitude that we all have.
That passage would lend itself, I mean, it kind of sounds like that he was the only Samaritan. That the others wouldn't have been because of the way that reads.
Mm-hmm.
Like only this foreigner came back. Why didn't everybody else come back? So that may be an indication that the rest of them weren't Samaritans.
So this is a basic attitude that we all have. So in the Old Testament, God appointed feasts to cause the Jews to remember that it was God who delivered them from Egypt. They didn't, that was not of their own doing. It was not from their own power or their own wisdom. He wanted them to always remember. So he instituted in Exodus 12 the Passover and the Unleavened Bread Feast. He also instituted the Pentecost, which was 50 days after the barley harvest. And he also instituted the Feast of Booths. He wanted them to always remember that it was him that did this for them.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
I just realized what was in here. Okay, if he was in Samaria and the people that he healed were in Samaria, why would they have to go to be checked by the priests?
Well, I think it's the reasons that we talked about. It was the law, even though wherever they were, it was the law. They could not get back into society until the priest looked at them and said, you're okay.
But if they're Samaritans...
They're still Jewish. They've got Jewish... They're half Jew, or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's diluted, I guess, eventually. But they're still... Do they not still live by Jewish laws?
If they had idols, I wouldn't think that they were living by the Mosaic law.
What I've read, I don't remember where I read this, I've read that they, these are my words, they had their own form of worship.
Right.
That's another thing that upset the Jews. They, because of the Assyrians, the other nations brought in the pagan idol worship. back in the 700s.
I don't know this for a fact, but I would think that there were still, even though Samaria was the capital of the Northern Kingdom and, you know, became mixed races, that that there were still pure-blood Jews in the vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. I don't know what I base that on, but because it's right in the middle. I mean, Galilee was part of the Northern Kingdom, too. I mean, it wasn't called Galilee, but that area, it's north of Samaria. And in the olden day, or in the 700s, Samaria was a city. It wasn't a region. It came to be a region later. So I just think there's mixed blood people as well as Jewish people all just living, you know, like the woman at the well that was a Samaritan. You know, there, she has to have been living among some Jews to know that they didn't have anything to do with Jews.
That's possible. Another thing I think is possible, you know, if it would be well known if the Jews went miles and miles and miles around. That would be well known. And so she would have known that also.
Where did that take place, the woman of the well?
Samaria.
Was it
Samaria? Yeah. Sally, another thought to your question is these priests might have been Samaritan priests, as opposed to just Jewish priests. They might have had their own priests. And then Jesus was also showing things about himself. That's why he sent them to the priests. It was showing his deity. Okay, Romans 1.
Before we read that,
yes.
To me, that just shows even another indicator that the rest of them may have been Jews. Because if he's telling them to go to the priest and they were in fact Jewish priests and there was only that one Samaritan, then it would make sense that he's telling them, hey, you need to go to the priest so that you can be told that you're cleansed and mm-hmm. you can go back and live in society again. I guess. Mm-hmm.
Well, and they had to live away from other people. So that could interfere with, you know, like them being Jewish, but okay, well, you have to live over here
mm-hmm.
and it being closer. I just thought maybe them being outside, having to be outside.
And like we talked about, they didn't only have to yell unclean, unclean. They had to let everybody know that they had leprosy.
If they were dressed right, you could probably tell anyway.
Yeah.
Like what Sally mentioned with the.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading from it's called IDC Bible Background Commentary,
mm-hmm.
and it says that a Samaritan would travel with Jewish lepers in the area between Samaria and Galilee also illustrates the extremity of lepers' outcast death. It erases other social distinctions. So.
Yeah.
I'm
with
Melissa. I think the others were Jewish.
Okay. Melissa, would you read verse 18, Romans 1, 18 through 21?
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculation, and their foolish heart was darkened.
Okay. And also notice verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for the light and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. And verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. When we think about where are the nine, and we read verses like this, I don't know if this question made sense to you. What did y'all have?
Well, you know, they didn't acknowledge God and give thanks in their healing.
Same thing as the lepers. In Romans, they lacked thankfulness. They did not honor him. And this contributed to the Gentiles' depravity. Christians are exhorted by Paul, who wrote most of the letters, to be thankful over and over. Let's look at a few verses. Turn to Ephesians 5. Joanne, would you read Ephesians 5:20?
Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father.
Paul's saying we should always give thanks. Susan Dunbar, would you read Philippians 3:1? Would you also read chapter 4, verse 4 and verse 6?
Rejoice the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Where is Paul when he's writing this? Philippians.
Prison.
So he's in prison and he's talking about rejoicing and he's encouraging us to be thankful. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, chapter 5. Andrea, would you read verse 17 and 18?
First Thessalonians 5.
17 and 18.
Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
So this is the will of God. So Jesus said, where are the nine? Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We see this is in all of Paul's letters. And one more look at Hebrews 13. We don't know who wrote this. Hebrews 13. Verse 15 says, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So, God created the universe. He's given it to us. He's given us so many things to enjoy. We have flowers, we have the fruit, we have the vegetables. If we're not thankful, is it because we're thoughtless? Are we too busy to give thanks? Are we procrastinating? We talked in the first lesson about when we talk to the children teaching their class. We don't accept excuses for them. We don't accept, I don't have my lesson, I didn't have time, I don't know where my book is. We don't accept that. So when we think about where is the nine, is God going to accept excuses from us if we're not thankful? Jesus said also to the Samaritan, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." In the New American Standard, where he says, "Your faith has made you well," the New American says, "Your faith has saved you." So this is not just physical, this is spiritual. This man had thankfulness growing out of faith. Look at Luke 5:20. This is the passage where Jesus heals the paralytic in verse 17 through 26. Sally, read verse 20.
Seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you."
So this is an instance where Jesus saw the man's faith after he'd been healed. And this, again, I believe, is spiritual. Your sins are forgiven you. Look at Luke 8:48. This is Jairus' daughter being restored to life and another woman healed. Verse 48 says, Luke 8. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So these are different instances where Jesus is telling the people, because their faith was so great. Number 8. What are things that we learn about Jesus from Luke 17? In almost all these stories, we're going to see the compassion of Jesus. And in this case, we might say they were suffering. So Jesus had compassion for people that were suffering. What did y'all have?
I have
people
that we don't think he's still faithful.
Mm-hmm. He's still there. If we're not thankful, he's going to give us time, hopefully, to learn. And to correct that. What else?
Respect for the law.
Respect for the law. That's a big thing.
Well, that's unusual because the Jews always felt like Jesus did not honor the law. They always said, you did this instead of doing this, like when he washed the disciples' feet. Mm-hmm. And they cost him about that, and a lot of other places. So I think that's something that we can always remember and be aware of, that Jesus always believed in the law and abode by the law.
You know, something we all know, a lot of things the Jews did, they were trying to test Jesus, or they were doing, today we say a gotcha. They thought they were going to get him. What, anybody else have anything they want to mention?
I'm thinking that I thought they were always attacking Jesus because he didn't follow the tradition of the Jews, more than not following the law, more than tradition.
Yeah, that was another thing. I'm sorry.
I said they equated the two laws.
Yeah.
He expected gratitude. He as you pointed out in several other passages, that it was surprising to him when the others did not express their gratitude. And in a whole other category, you know, the glorifying God. You know, why the gratitude would lead to that, or it should have, and that was a, I think that's very telling for us, because just even sometimes we're grateful, but we don't necessarily give God the praise for, you know, whatever has happened that we're thankful for. Because you can divide it.
I agree with you. He did expect it. Was that for him?
No, it's for
the lepers. Was it for us? We need to. I mean, for the lepers. He expected them.
Yes, but if he expected them, then he would expect us or anybody else that listens to his teachings to see that in him, that is expected by him and by his father.
Okay. I also had, along with his compassion, he had power to do something about it. He was not afraid to have his miracles confirmed by the priest. I have a question for you. How did Jesus know that man was a Samaritan? And how did Jesus know the other nine were cleansed?
Because
it's
Jesus.
Did he? That's my point. That was something I learned, was Jesus, about his deity. And the last one I had was the value he puts on obedient faith. That was the first thing we talked about. Sally mentioned that. He said, go show yourselves to the priests. They went. They had obedient faith. Too bad the other nine didn't have thankfulness to go along with that. That's everything I had on this. Any comments or any more questions?
When I was thinking about, you know, people that had leprosy, and I also thought of Naaman, it's interesting to me that he held the position that he did, even though he had leprosy. You know, I don't know if it was like something that he just...
But he wasn't Jewish.
So they wouldn't have had the same sort of law. You wouldn't think...
It would be surprising if they would allow him
to associate and be around people that he held the position that he did, even though he had leprosy. And then that Elijah didn't talk to him himself, but Elisha didn't talk to him himself, but, you know, sent somebody else to talk to him. I wonder if that, you know, played into the fact that he was, you know, that he was a leper. I don't know. Just an interesting thought.
And I always find, every time I study that, I find his thinking so interesting. Mm-hmm. This is not what I expected. This is what I should be doing. Because of his position, he's used to telling people what to do, I'm sure. And I always find that so interesting.
You know, the Samaritan being healed, I was thinking, because he was a Samaritan, he was more grateful that Jesus healed him than the Jews who expect, you know, what Jesus would do for them or something.
Yeah.
It's just the more you sin, the more grateful you are, God is giving you.
It's always interesting how many times that we heard this in a lesson, a lot of things, and you go back and study these things, and we're still amazed, just like Naaman. We're still amazed. Okay, I have two new lessons.